Begin the current Daf Masechta Yevamah is Daf Tzadei Dal. Begin 11 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf. That is, the second version of the Gemara's question on the previous Daf was regarding the primary topic of this parak, which is Ha'isha Shehalach Baila Ben Yisayam, that a woman, her husband goes overseas, doesn't hear of him, and one witness comes and says he died. So because of Biguna, the Rabbanu would Mekel, and we believe the testimony of one witness. Now the Gemara asked, what would be the case in a different variation of that question, which is that the aide says that her Yavam passed away, and therefore she doesn't have to go ahead and do Yibum, but rather she can go ahead and marry Lashuk. And that would be if, let's say, her husband died without any children. She has to do Yibum. Her Yavam but then travels overseas, doesn't hear of him, and one witness says that he died. What would the halacha be over there? As the Gemara explained, the explanations of these two sides is that, do you say the reason why we believe in a regular case when her husband goes overseas, even the testimony of one witness, because although that's a leniency, but it's because that a witness is not going to lie, even though he's one person, because it's what's called Milsa Davida Ligluye. People are going to find out if he's alive or not. If he walks into town, he's going to be exposed like a liar, and therefore he wouldn't lie. Hence, over here by the Yavam, he additionally wouldn't lie, and therefore we would believe him even in such a case too. Or is it when her husband goes overseas? The reason why we believe one witness is because of the penalties we levy against the woman. In case her husband is alive, she's going to be careful and do her due diligence to investigate and make sure that he really did die. And that's why, with that variable involved, that's why we let her go ahead and remarry. But in the case of a Yavam, her brother-in-law, who very likely she could hate, and because of that, she's not going to check into this testimony. One witness said, he's dead, I'm quickly marrying someone else. And therefore, that might create a violation of the Issi Yavam al-Lashuk. And hence, maybe there, we will not base it on the testimony of one witness to allow her to marry someone else. So that was the Gemara's question. The Gemara attempted a proof and said it's not a proof. Now the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Ravashi. V'amrilo, and some say it was Rav Acha l'Ravashi. Toshima, come in here, we'll prove it from a Mishnah later on, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Ein ha'isha nemenes leimer meis yivami she'enosi. A woman's not believed, she herself is not believed to say, I was with my brother-in-law, and he died. I know that he died, so that I can get married to someone else. She's not believed. Now, moreover, v'loi meisa achesi, she's not believed to say that my sister died, she'ekonis lebeisa, that I'll go into her house, meaning that I'll marry her husband. Because she's forbidden in her brother-in-law, by meaning her sister's husband, as long as her sister's alive. When her sister's dead, she's allowed to marry her husband. So she's not believed to say that she had died to marry her brother-in-law. Now, the Gemara makes the following inference. He nihi delei mehem, it's only herself that she's not believed regarding her own halachas to allow or disallow regarding her brother-in-law. But one witness, which has no biases, is not involved, and that's a greater level of witness. So therefore, that maybe we see clearly that one witness is believed even in the case of Meis Yavama, meaning Meis Yavam from the Yavam dying. It's just she herself is not believed, but one witness would be believed. So that answers the question. And the Gemara says, no, it's no proof, because according to your line of reasoning that you're making such inferences, that only what's called the Baal Dover, the litigant themselves, they're not believed, but one witness would be believed. Well, their name is Sefer. Look at the Sefer of that Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, Ein ha'ish ne'man leimer, a man is not believed to say, meis achi, that my brother died, she'yab mes ishte, that then he can go ahead and, quote, do yibim to his wife, meaning he wants to marry his sister-in-law, and his brother went overseas and didn't have children yet, he's not believed to say that. Moreover, v'loi mesa ishti, he's not believed to say that my wife died, she'al se'as ha'chesed, that I'll marry her sister, because he can't marry his sister-in-law as long as his wife's alive. But he says she died, he's not believed. Now, so therefore, based on your line of inferences, so who knew d'loi mehem? So what are you going to say? He's not believed. Ho'erech mehem, but what, that one witness would be believed? In other words, the Gemara is asking, would one aid be believed to say that your wife died, thus permitting him to marry his wife's sister? But that doesn't make sense. Because Bishlam Gabi Isha, we understand, which is that's the topic of this parak, which is what the parak opened up with, regarding a woman. Mishamiguna kilo barabana. And then we understand why, although generally halacha requires and mandates two witnesses, Here, with just one witness, we allowed it for her to remarry because of, we don't want to be bound and stuck in this situation of not being able to be married to anyone. Regarding a man, what would you say? What would be the logic of saying that one witness would be believed to tell a man that your wife died so that he can marry his sister-in-law? What type of necessity is there in that situation? A man can marry other women. Ella, rather, the Gemara says, don't infer from this reisha that, oh, it's the woman that's not believed, but one witness would be believed to allow her to marry Lashok. No, actually, the necessity of that reisha is not for the inference, but it's to say the chiddush that she herself is not believed. As the Gemara explains, Ki etzruch, when did we need it? Rabbi Kiva etzruch. It's going like Rabbi Kiva, and it's saying a chiddush. So, I mean, we would have thought to say, since Rabbi Kiva says, Yesh mamzim mechiva lavin, that if there's a violation of just a negative prohibition, that union will create an illegitimate child, which is the case that we're discussing over here, of Yavama Lashuk, where if she's claiming that her Yavim died so that she can go marry someone else, that would be a violation of a negative prohibition, thus creating a child of mamzer potentially. So, Eima Chaisha Akal Kula, so we would think to say that she'd be concerned about what the ramifications can have. The collateral damage would be that her child could potentially be a mamzer if she's making a mistake. And therefore, Vidaiko, therefore she'll be precise. So hence, when she herself says, Mesi Yavami, my Yavim died, maybe we would think that we would allow her to get married to someone else. Kamashman, that's the chiddush that no, we do not believe her. Because actually, as we had said before, in the context of Eid Echad, that maybe she hates him so much that she's not careful, and therefore, even if she has an assumption that maybe he died, she'll say, oh, he died, so that she can marry someone else, that she's not stuck with this brother-in-law. But however, what the Gemara is saying is that you can't make the inference, oh, it's her, because if it was one witness too, you would have said it even by one witness, that would have been a bigger chiddush. So it must be only she's not believed, but one witness is. I think we're saying, no, we picked her, because actually there's even in her, there's a chiddush that we wanted to pull out over here and saying that even though we're going like Rabbi Kiva, that her child will be a mamzer, and therefore, whoa, that's something that no woman wants. Hence, she would be careful and meticulous to make sure that he's really dead, and therefore, maybe we would allow her to remarry someone else based on her own testimony. That's the chiddush, is that we don't. She hates him so much, she'll risk this potential of having a child a mamzer. So again, no proof from the mission of Kuf Yud Ches. So the Gemara continues. Rav Amar, he says, I'll prove it to you, Eidech Anema Biyavama, that one witness is believed regarding the context of a woman that's a Shemeres Yavim for Yavim, who's claiming this one witness that the Yavim died so that she can marry Lashok, Mikavo Chaim, I'll prove it to you from Mikavo Chaim that he is believed. Because if Le'issa Karis Hitarta, you believed one witness for a Karis level Isser, for example, which is the beginning of our parak, that he's allowed to tell a woman your husband died that you could remarry someone else, which if the husband's not dead, she's an Ashes Ish, which is a penalty of Karis. So the Isser Lav, so regarding just a negative prohibition, which is what we're talking about, the context of Yavam Lashok, meaning marrying someone else and not the Yavam, like Kol Shekin, isn't it obvious that we would believe in Eid Echad? So Amalei Humer Abban L'Rava, so one of the rabbis said to Rava, says no. He asks Metechiach, I'll use the woman herself to disprove your Kavachemer. Because the Le'issa Karis Hitarta, a woman herself is believed to say Meis Bali, and therefore, for a penalty of Karis, we believed her, you permitted her to marry someone else. But Le'issa Lav Lo Hitarta, we just quoted before, that Mishnah that says that a woman is not believed for her own testimony to say that her Yavim died, which is a negative prohibition just. So, Ve'elihi Mai Tam Alehman. So, what would be the reason? What's the logic in that? Isn't that a Kavo Chaim? If a woman's believed regarding her Isser Karis of Eishes Ish that her husband died, isn't she believed regarding the Isser Lav Yivam Lashuk regarding her Yavam? So, the reason is because the Kivin is in the Desayile, as we said before, because she hates him so much, we don't believe her, even though it's a lower level prohibition. Because Loidai convinced her, she's not going to be precise and then marry. She'll just go quickly off the handle and marry someone else. So that's the same logic for one witness, which is how we introduced the question in the previous daf. The kivin is imminent, decidedly, since sometimes she's going to hate her brother-in-law, she's not going to be carefully investigate and verify the facts of the one witness, and she'll get married. And that's why we're not going to allow her to go ahead and even believe it in the case of one witness, and therefore there's no proof, and therefore the Gemara has not resolved precisely this question if one witness would be believed regarding the halacha of Yavam Lashuk. The Gemara continues that our Mishnah concluded that Zeh Medrash Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh v'chol. This is, as the previous halacha the Mishnah was talking about, that if a woman who heard from the one witness that her husband had died overseas, that not like the other cases of the Mishnah where that she had then married someone else, Mishnah said if she only got engaged to someone else, then that's like, no, it's not going to create a problem for her to go back to her first husband. Moreover, even if this second husband, quote husband, who she was really never married to because she was always married to the first one who was still alive, but even if he gives her a get, and that the Mishnah said, it's nothing that get, it's not even going to invalidate her from kahuna. And the reason is, as Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh had said, it's based on the pasuk that, because it says, v'isha grusha mi'isha, only a woman divorced from her husband is going to be forbidden for a kohen. But this second man is not her husband, and therefore, it's not going to make her forbidden in her husband. And that he based on that pasuk. So now, Amar Yehudim Arav, he says, on this drush of Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh, he says, Havalei Rabbi Elazar lemidrash be marginisa. Rabbi Elazar, he had an opportunity over here. He had a great pasuk, which is an interesting pasuk in the sense it says, Isha Gerusha me'isha, from her husband. What is that? Of course, a woman's divorce from her husband. So he had a pearl he could have said, but v'darsh b'chaspa, but he expounded a shard. In other words, something obvious he expounded where, yeah, of course, the second man who's not her husband, if he gives her a get, it's not going to validate it from kohuna because it's nothing. But he could have said something better. Which the Gemara says, my Maganisa, what was the pearl? The Talmud learned a Brisa, and this Brisa expounds the pasuk in defining a pearl. Because the Talmud learned a Brisa, says the pasuk in Meikra, it says, v'isha gerusha me'isha, this pasuk, that a woman that's divorced from her husband is forbidden for a kohen. Now that, the Brisa says, what does that mean, divorced from her husband? Even if she's only divorced from her husband. For example, if let's say a man writes a get to his wife, and he tells her, you're divorced from me, but you're not permitted to everyone else. Where that's not a full-fledged divorce. She's just removed and separated from her husband. And that is what the Brisa says is the Pasuk's Chiddush, that she's Psuda Lakuna. That she's going to be invalid to marry a kohen, she's disqualified by the virtue of just being grusha mi'isha. Now, what that means is that meaning that means she, of course she's still married because not halachically a get, but meaning when the husband dies and then she's just namana, which is permitted to marry other people and even a kohen, but because of this quote get, she becomes invalid and disqualified from marrying a kohen. And that's what the Gemara, the Brisa concludes, behind the Re'ech HaGet, the place of a kohen. This is what's always commonly called the Re'ech HaGet, which is just the scent of a get, that invalidates a woman for kohuna, or in other words, because it's not really a get, and it's just Grusha Mi'isha, that would already be enough to disqualify the woman from kohuna. That's what Yehuda says, Neymar Rav, could have said something that would have been a nice, a pearl type of a chiddush, and he said something pretty obvious, that of course, the second husband that she thought she was married, because she thought her first husband was dead, of course will not disqualify her when he gives her a get. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding when one hears about someone that died and then takes action regarding relations based on that. So the Mishnah says, Misha holcha ishto lemedinas yam, someone that, now we're changing it around, up until now we're talking about the woman that her husband went overseas, now we're talking about a man that his wife went overseas. Bova amar lo meisa ishtocha, so they came and said, sorry to tell you, your wife died. So v'nasa zechaisa, he married her sister, meaning his sister, who he's permitted to, after his wife dies. V'achach bas ishta, and then behold, his wife comes back into town, she's still alive. So the Mishnah says, muteris lachzalei, he's permitted to go back to his wife. Now, the reason is because this kedushin, this marriage that he did with her sister, was nothing. Essentially, it was an act of znus, because one cannot marry his sister-in-law as long as Oleha b'chayeha, so hence that kedushin is not toifis in that erva v'chayis ishtoi. Now, since it was just an act of znus, the Gemara later on the coming daf tzadik hei will explain from the pasuk oisa that it's only when regarding the relations that a woman, the wife herself has, that could make her forbidden on her husband. But if let's say her husband has relations with her sister, although that's a problem, you can't be married to two sisters at the same time, that will not invalidate the original wife on her husband. So therefore, he's permitted to go back to his wife. Continue to Amud Beis. umutu bekrevishnia, and he's permitted in the relatives of the second wife, meaning of his wife's sister who he had married, so to speak. He's permitted to marry his sister-in-law's daughter. And that's because, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Alef, that one is allowed to marry the relatives of a woman that he violated or seduced. It's only a woman that he married, and then he becomes forbidden, and her daughter, and her mother, and all these different relatives. But here, since it comes out that it was just actually an act of znus, which he was, let's say, mefata, or whatever it is, that's not considered marriage to make it forbidden in that second one's relatives. And moreover, Shnimu Teres Bekrevav, his sister-in-law is permitted still in his relatives. He's not forbidden. She's not forbidden on his relatives because they were never married. Now, the Im Meisri Shaina, now, if then subsequently the first one, meaning his original wife, dies, then Mutter Bishnia, then he's permitted then to go back to his sister-in-law, the one that he had originally thought he married and was really just a Meisri. Now the Mishnah says, "Amuloi mesa ishta." So, let's say if they tell him that your wife died, benos as a chesa, and the same type of case, he married her sister. Then they come and tell him as follows: "Kayemes haisa." Really, at the time you married your sister-in-law, she was still alive. We made a mistake, but umesa, it was at a later point that she died. So, havlad rishon mamza, the first child, meaning the child that was born pre the date of his original wife's death, is an illegitimate child. Comes out that he was. That was an erva of achis isha, which creates a child of mamza. But the children born after that date that she had subsequently died are not going to be mamza, because then at that point his sister-in-law was not an achis ishta and was permitted for him to be married to. Now the Mishnah concludes with an enigmatic statement from Rabbi Yisi. He says, "Kol shepaisel al-de acherim, wherever it is that he invalidates others, paisel al-de atzma, then he validates himself. Wherever he does not invalidate others, in the place of the asma, he does not invalidate himself," which Gemara will explain on later daf, what exactly does that mean. Now, the Gemara says regarding this halacha that the Mishnah opened up with, that he's still permitted in his wife, although he was married to her sister, which you can't be married to both of them at the same time, it's okay. The fact that he had relations with her does not make it forbidden on his wife. So the Gemara says that the truth is that this halacha would apply even if his wife and his brother-in-law, who was the husband of his wife's sister, meaning his brother-in-law, because it's his sister-in-law, who it's his wife's sister's husband, even if both of those went, they both went overseas, if two families went somewhere, they went to a simcha, whatever it is, and it was his wife and his brother-in-law that was representing, and him and his sister-in-law stayed behind. Now, one witness came and said that he told the husband that your wife died. He told the sister-in-law that your husband died. There was an accident, they were in a car. And so he went and married his sister-in-law. Then both of them come back, and that wasn't true. They're still alive. His brother-in-law's alive, and his wife's alive. So that, the Gemara says, that the ahani hani nisuim, that this marriage that this man had with his sister-in-law, it fulfills the kamatzra ishes gisay agisay. It does accomplish that the wife of his brother-in-law, meaning his sister-in-law, is forbidden now to his brother-in-law. Because as we mentioned in the beginning of the parak, that although a woman, in this case the sister-in-law, is allowed to remarry based on the testimony of one witness who came and said that, look, your husband died, so therefore she went and married her brother-in-law. But however, when the husband then comes back, we said the penalty is that she's forbidden now to her original husband. So his sister-in-law is now forbidden to her husband, his brother-in-law. So even so, that his brother-in-law's wife is forbidden to him, his wife is still permitted to him. We do not say, if this relationship that they had, subsequent to that, they had gone overseas and heard the reports that both of them died, even though it makes his brother-in-law's wife forbidden on his brother-in-law, we do not say that because of that, that his wife becomes forbidden to him. Another way we would think to say that, look, if it should work both ways. If she's forbidden in her husband, he should be forbidden in his wife. Now we say that, no, there's different halachic principles that are in place over here. She's forbidden to him, and he's permitted his wife. Now, a That the Gemara says, Lema Masnitin. So let's say that our Mishnah, who is saying that she's permitted back to him, meaning he's permitted in his wife, is delay Rebbe Akiva, is not like Rebbe Akiva. Because the Rebbe Akiva, if our Mishnah was going like Rebbe Akiva, now since that this Achis Ishtoi requires a get from him, as the Gemara will quote according to Rebbe Akiva, that this sister-in-law, who again is forbidden to her husband, the brother-in-law, however, besides that, she also needs a get from this, who was her second husband, which really wasn't, which was this man, who it's her sister's husband, who she needs a get from him. So Havilah, according to Bekiva, that would make this man's wife Achais Gerushasai, his divorcee's sister. Interesting way how that comes out, but that's what it is. Meaning, if this second woman needs, for whatever halachic reasoning, needs a get, so that makes his original wife Achais Gerushasai. So that would make him forbidden to stay married to his wife because he cannot marry Achais Gerushasai. So it must be our Mishnah is not Rebbe Akiva, because our Mishnah says he could maintain the marriage with his original wife. That's not like Lindo Brisa. Brisa says, Kalaraisha b'Torah, any forbidden relationship based on an erva, ain't tzrichas in a get. Let's say they quote get married. You don't need a get because you never married. You can't be married to this woman. Chutz me'eshes ish shenisus al pi bezin, which was the halacha that we opened up the parak with, which is if a married woman who gets married based on the testimony of one witness with the permissibility of bezin, that then that second quote husband, who was never really a husband because she was an eshes ish, you need to have a get from him. And that's because, as we explained, the Pechesim Abeis is because people, when they see the original husband coming back, will assume, wait a second, how is she married to this other man? Must have been the first one divorced her and then got married to this other one. So how is she leaving him without any get? They'll think that a married woman could leave without a get. That's why, rabbinically, we mandate a get. But that's just by the case of Eishes Ish, who gets married based on the testimony of one aid. But Rebbe Akiva, that's the Tanna Kamma, he's Maisiv two more cases that require a get, albeit that there are arayas. He's Maisiv af Eishes Ach, also a brother's wife, v'achis isha, and a wife's sister. Now, the Gemara at this point assumes that, for example, let's say the case of Eishes Ach, what it means is even if this woman was married to his brother, then he heard that his brother died without any children, so he went ahead and did Yibum. Then, lo and behold, his brother comes. That's what we keep saying, that although technically they were never really married because it was a Eishes Ach, but you still need to have a get. Similarly, regarding the case of Achis Isha, which is the case we're discussing in our Mishnah, that the same halacha would apply, that you would need a get. Now, as Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in the Havamina, what the Gemara is assuming now, we wouldn't really understand fully why Rebbe Akiva would hold that. Because here you cannot say the logic of, let's say, the Eishes Ish that gets married based on one witness, that, oh, we'll assume that maybe the first one had divorced, and this one had married, in other words, to require a get from, because out of the concern, because even if the husband divorced, the second condition wouldn't be Tavis anyway, because the Eishes Ach, when we see the original brother come back, so we can't say, wait a second, her husband came back, must have been the brother, the first one had divorced and the second one married, and how is she leaving without a get? What do you mean? You can never marry a brother's wife if the brother is still alive. More similarly, by Achais Isha, once his wife comes, everybody knows that the second condition was not a condition, because as long as the wife is alive, even if there was a divorce, you cannot marry the sister. Now, in spite of that, Rashi points out that, according to the Gemara's Havamina, it seems that Rebbe Akiva still created this penalty to require a get, although we don't really understand the reasoning why that would be. You don't have the whole concern of that, wait a second, how does that work out? Must have been the first one divorced, and oh, that's how the second one married. But if that's the case, because if the first one's still alive, how can you go ahead and marry the other one? Must have been through a divorce. But so then how are they leaving the second one then without a get? How is that possible? So that's why we require a get. But here it's not possible. If you were married to the first one, and the second one's still alive, there's never a circumstance that you could marry the second one. But be that as it may, the Gemara is assuming that that's the case. And that Rebbe Akiva's halacha was even if that there was a marriage in the Eishes Ach or the Achis Isha. And still you need a get. Now, so Rebbe Akiva, not Rebbe Akiva by a get. So since Rebbe Akiva says that you need to have a get by Achis Isha, So Mamela Itzra Lo. So by default, his wife should be forbidden to him because the Havila Chais Grusha Asai, because she is the sister of the woman that he's divorced. Because as we said, when one does these quote mistakes with Eshes Ach and Achis Isha, which is that he had this his wife's sister, that we said that if he married her, and then it comes out that his wife's really still alive, Rabbi Akiva says you have to give her a get. If you have to give her a get, that makes his original wife Achis Grusha Asai. So then, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would not be able to stay married with her. And our Mishnah says you could. So it must be our Mishnah's not like Rabbi Akiva. And I think Gemara says no. V'lav itmar Allah, didn't we say regarding this halach of Rabbi Akiva, that Amr Begidl, Amr Bechir, Bar Yosef, Amr Rav, that Hai Eshes Ach Hechadami. There were two cases Rabbi Akiva added on. So he says, what was the case of his brother's wife? Meaning that he thought he had died, and so he had done Yibum, and then turns out his brother is really still alive. That was Kugan Shekidish Achav Esi Isha. That was the one that his brother had only been engaged to a woman. V'halach L'medin Siyam, and then he went overseas. V'sham Hashem Es Achav, and he heard that his brother died. V'amad V'nas Es Isha, then he went and married his sister-in-law, his brother's wife. The Amri Inchi, where then people would say, when they see the original brother come back, who she was originally engaged to, they're going to say, oh, wait a second. From the fact that the second brother had married her, must be, hach kama tano havale b'kedushin, must be that the first brother who was engaged to her must have been that there was some type of a condition in the betrothal, which was obviously not fulfilled, because how could she have married the brother? We know that you can't marry brothers. V'hai, and that this second man, Shapinasiv, must have been he really has a full-fledged marriage, because it's not possible, it doesn't make sense. They're not going to know all this, the whole story behind it, that they thought that this brother had died. They're just going to see he's here. He's here. We know he was engaged to her, but now she got married to the brother. Oh, you know what it must have been? This is what people are going to assume, that he, because he only had Kiddushin, must have been he made some type of conditions, didn't pan out, so therefore there was no valid Kiddushin. Therefore, it must have been the second one was the one that was rightfully married. Now, if we're then going to, and that's not really what happened. Really what happens is that there was a regular condition with the first one, and the second one just thought he had died, and now therefore we say she's not allowed to stay married to the second one, because she was still engaged to the first one at that time. But if we let her go without a get, so it's people will assume that, wait a second, you have a married woman, because they don't know the story. They think that second one was really married to her. So a married woman can leave without a get? So that's where Rabbi Akiva adds on the case of Eshes Ach. Similarly, and this is one that's pertinent for our Mishnah and our discussion, and they said, what's this case of a man marrying his wife's sister? He only got engaged to his wife. And then during their engagement, she went overseas. The Shamash Mason, he heard that she died. Ahmed Vanasas Chayes, he went, and he likes that family. He went, okay, the woman he was engaged to died, so he went and married her sister. The Ami Inchi, but people are going to say, wait a second, you can't marry sister-in-laws. That doesn't make sense. And we see that she's here, meaning this is later when we find out that she's not really dead and she's still alive. So people are confused. Wait a second, he was engaged to this girl, and she's still here, and yet he married that sister. But now we see he's leaving that marriage too, but how does that work out? It's not possible that he could have married sisters. So must be, they're going to say, Hach kamaisa tanoi havale b'kedushin. Must have been that first one, oh, he made these conditions with her. He wanted to live a certain place, whatever it is, didn't pan out. V'ha shapinasiv, and therefore there was no kedushin with the first one, because if the condition is not fulfilled, that means that the kedushin is not kedushin. And must be that this second one that he had gotten engaged to and then married is a valid marriage. And that's why Rabbi Akiva says you have to have a get there too. Because although that's not really what happened, people are going to think that it was a valid marriage. And they're going to think that you can get divorced from a married woman without a get. Now, those are the cases that Rabbi Akiva is talking about, that there was just kedushin. But el nisuin, but when there's marriage, for example, like the case of our Mishnah, where the first woman was married to him, mikala meimet tanoi havali bin nisuin, can you say that there was conditions that even will work in a marriage when the relation is consummated? In other words, everybody knows a person does not put a condition on his cohabitations with his wife and to say, wait a second, if these conditions pan out, then we're married. If not, not. No, by kedushin, there's such an element, not by marriage. And therefore, everybody knows that the second nisuin was nothing. because since he was married to the first one, must be the second one. There's nothing, and that's why you don't have to have a get, because no one's assuming that the situation is, wait a second, They'll find out that this was obviously happened, that they thought she had died and really not, because they're not going to assume the other way, which is the more logical one, that, oh, must have been conditions, because there's no conditions that a person will put on his cohabitations, and therefore that's why they're not going to assume that, and hence they're not going to think that he was ever married to the second one. So there's no need for having a get, and that is why our Mishnah says, even according to Rekiva, that's muteris ishtai, because it's not achis grishasa. Even according to Rekiva, because even Rekiva would agree that although he says achis ishtai, you need a get, that's only when there was only a kedushin, and then he went and married achis ishtai. But in our Mishnah, where it's told him he had nisuin, and then he had the violation of achis ishtai, there no one's going to entertain and think that he had just, although he was married for 10 years with his wife, but there were conditions that weren't fulfilled, and therefore, oh, they was never really married. That's not the case. And therefore, obviously, if his wife's still alive, they're going to realize that the second marriage wasn't anything, and even Rabbi Kiva would not require a get in that type of situation. Fine, so the Gemara says, okay, the Mishnah could be like Rabbi Kiva, but only Rav Asher of Kahana. If our Mishnah is truly Rabbi Kiva, like you're trying to turn over everything to figure out and maintain that our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Kiva, but we have a different problem for you, then listen to Namimach Chamaisai. Then the Mishnah should have said, not just Achis Ishtai, you could say even Chamaisai, which is the classic of a stringent prohibition of an erva, where you get a punishment of Sreifa, of burning, where you could have said that if they tell him that your wife died, and then instead of the case that our Mishnah talks about, that he married her sister, could have said even if he marries her mother, his mother-in-law. Because Darshan Min, Rabbi Kiva Da'amar, because Rabbi Kiva is on record as saying, Chamaisa la'achamisa, his mother-in-law, after his wife dies, lav bisreifa, does not get the penalty of sreifa, which you normally get for the mother-in-law, and that is that she's permitted. And if she's permitted, this could have been the same type of case that we could have said, not just with a sister, could have been with a mother-in-law, the Tanakh Linda Brisa. So suppose it can be Yikra. And at the beginning of the pasuk there is Perek Chav Pasuk Yudal that says, Vesha sheyikach es isha ves ima, a man that will take a woman and her mother, zimhi, but eish yisroifu, in fire they will be burnt, oisoi ve'eshen, him and eshen. Now, what does eshen mean? So the Brisa brings a machlekes. Oisoi ve'es achas mehen. It means him, he gets burnt, he violated this isser of marrying his mother-in-law, and one of them. And the reason is because in Greek, the word achas, one, is pronounced hina. So the Torah is telling you, oisoi ve'es hen, that es meaning the, hen is one, and one of them. So the Torah is telling you, the last one that was married is the one that's going to get sreifa. Obviously not the first one because she didn't do anything wrong. It's the second one, meaning that if he married a woman and then her mother, the mother-in-law and the man will get the punishment of being burnt. That's the interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel. Kiva, I mean, he says, Oisai ve'eshtehen. He says, Eshen doesn't mean and one of them. It means and both of them. Now, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin asks, what's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? And that is because most definitely you cannot literally translate the words of Rabbi Kiva that both of them are going to get sreifa, meaning his wife and her mother-in-law, because what did his wife do wrong? When she married him, that was a regular permitted marriage. It was the second one that made the problem, the mother-in-law. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara over there regarding the interpretation of the machlekes of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Abaye says that truthfully in halacha, there's no machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. It's just what's called mashmos doshin. That's the difference. Meaning how they interpret the pasuk. Kiva holds that both, there's two different people that were talking about their penalties in this pasuk. Meaning we're not just talking about the woman, we're talking about his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother are both being learned out from that pasuk regarding the punishment and the penalty of sreifa. Because he interprets the pasuk, ish ki kach es isha ves im, a man that takes a woman and her mother, that both of them are saying an iser, which means like in the case of when he marries, the woman is his mother-in-law and the mother is the mother-in-law's mother. Where then Be'ish Yisroifu, that's what Bekiva says, that, oh, both of them are going to get the penalty of Karas, because they're both in a prohibited marriage. Shmuel holds that no, we only mentioned one of them, meaning the mother-in-law herself is mentioned in that pasuk, because it says ki yikach es isha. That's not, as Rabbi Kiva says, is the isha is the mother-in-law and ima is the mother-in-law's mother. Rather, isha is the wife that was originally permitted marriage with her husband, and ima is a reference to the mother-in-law. And that's what Torah says, that you should burn oisai the eshen, which again Rabbi Shmuel interprets based on the Greek es achas, man, one of them, where that is because that the mother-in-law's mother, that she gets sreifa, he learns that from a different source. This one from Exer Shav, as the Gemara brings him a second Sanhedrin on the Ein Hamid base. That is a biased interpretation of the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rava says that there's a difference in halacha over here, and that's what they're arguing about, which is the halacha of a mother-in-law after his wife passes away. Shmuel holds she still gets sreifa, she still gets burned, because he interprets the pasuk ois oy ve'es hen, as we said from the Greek, as oisai and one of them. What does it mean, and one of them? Meaning even if both of them are not alive. For example, if his wife died and he marries her mother, then they're still going to be sreifa. Kiva holds no, oisai ve'es tehen. What does that mean? Her, him and both of them. I mean only when both of them are still alive. When his wife is alive and his mother-in-law lies, and then he's married to both of them, then he gets Reifa. And then that makes sense that how when he gets Reifa is only when both of them are alive. Same thing would apply for his mother-in-law, only when her daughter is also alive, because the pasuk equates for punishments and penalties the men to the women, and therefore if he's only going to get it when both of them are alive, she's also going to get it only when both of them are alive. Now the Gemara concludes the question. Our Mishnah that did not mention Chamoisa. So, Bishlem Labaya, this makes sense according to Abaya's interpretation. He said that the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is really just how they interpret the sources of the halacha from the pasuk, but in halacha there's no difference. And that is Rabbi Shmuel Sava Chadiksev. He holds that one is written. Rabbi Kiva Sava Tartiksev, he says that both of them are written. In other words, as we interpreted before, that according to Rabbi Kiva, we learn out two penalties from this pasuk, which is his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law, whereas Rabbi Shmuel only learns out one from here, the mother-in-law, because as we said before, he learns out the mother-in-law's mother from Gezeirah Shavah. But one thing we see according to Abaye is that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are not talking about at all the halacha about what would be a mother-in-law after his wife died. Now, so according to Abaye, Shaper, it makes sense that we don't find anywhere that a mother-in-law after his wife died should be permitted, and therefore she'll still be forbidden. It's only by Chais Isha where the Pasuk says, Aleha Bechayah. And therefore, it makes sense why we didn't mention in our Mishnah the case of when he thought his wife had passed away, that he went and then married his mother-in-law. Because even after his wife dies, that's forbidden. But the question of the Gemara is, El Rava, but according to Rava, the Amar Chamayitzi Lachamisa Ikebeinai, that he says that the Machlekes Rav Shmuel Rav Kiva is based on what's going to be the halach of the mother-in-law after his wife dies. Listen, Amar Chamayitzi, so Rabbi Kiva, according to Rava's interpretation, holds that a mother-in-law is permitted after his wife dies. So therefore, according to him, because only Vashtein, when both of them are alive, that is his mother-in-law is going to be besreifa. But if not permitted, so why did our Mishnah only say, if you're trying to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva, only the case of marrying Achais Ishto, it should have said even Chamoisai. So Amalei responded to him, he says, Nehi demiate krom isreifa. Although that the pasuk, you're right, according to Rava's interpretation of Rabbi Kiva, is excluding the mother-in-law from sreifa after his wife dies, but misur mimiatakra, does the pasuk exclude it from the prohibition? It's still prohibition. This is only talking about in the pasuk of the context of penalties. And the penalty of sreifa, that won't be, but the isur is still there, and therefore we couldn't have said in the Mishnah that, oh, his wife's dead, he goes and marries the mother-in-law. So although there's no sreifa, it's still prohibited, and therefore that could not have been a case that we would have said, and therefore the Mishnah could still be like Rabbi Kiva. But now the Gemara asks, regarding this halacha that we had opened up discussing from the beginning of the Mishnah, that said that he's permitted to go back to his wife, although he had married her sister in the meantime. But so, although it's not a problem like even like Rabbi Kiva, who we assumed it's not like him, but the Gemara has a different question. V'ti aser, his original wife should be forbidden to him, b'shchiva da'achaisa, when he goes and cohabits with her sister, midi da'hava, a'isha shahalach b'alam din zayam. How is this any different than the case we open up in the parak where a woman that her husband goes overseas? In other words, They seem to be the same idea. One is the woman, her husband, going overseas, and therefore she goes and marries someone else. Here, it's a man that his wife go overseas, and they marry someone else. Both of them are marrying someone else in the interim that's forbidden to them. Then the original spouse comes back. So we say over there that although she was a shayig, she thought he had died, still the rabbis penalize her and say that you should have checked better, and now you're forbidden to that person. So why over here do we say that you are permitted to go back? Why does she become forbidden to her husband who now comes back? And the rabbi said, no, you should have checked better. Although shagig, although you didn't do b'mezid. B'mezid, you become forbidden. But you did it by mistake. By mistake, according to the strict letter of the law, you should be permitted to go back to your husband, just like it is when you have two witnesses. But we said, no, you should check better. We're going to penalize you. So why don't we say the same thing over here? A man where his wife goes overseas and he went and had a marriage with her sister, which should make him forbidden on his wife, that we say it doesn't because he was b'shagig, he didn't realize. But how does that work? Why is it any different when we penalize her, when her husband, that she cannot go back to him, but here the husband, he could go back to his wife? So the Gemara explains, because actually, loydam, it's actually not the same. Because ishtoi d'mezid asira midei raisa, by a woman, if she had done it deliberately, she would be biblically prohibited to her husband. Because as the pasuk says in B'midbar Hey, it says, regarding the parasha of the site, it says, v'hila netfasa, she wasn't forced, which the inference is that she's forbidden. There's an isra over here. It's only if she had been forced that then she'd be permitted, but or else the default position is that there's an isra over here. So if she does it deliberately, she's forbidden to her husband. So therefore, b'shagig, so in, let's say in the case of where we open up the perek, when she does it by mistake, where Bezin says, you know, there's one witness, okay, you go ahead and marry someone else, because of Rabbanan, they penalized her, they made a decree, because we see that this is an element that she's very easily forbidden to her husband, if she does deliberately. Now, she's claiming it was by mistake, she didn't realize, still we penalize her, because we're concerned for that halacha. But however, we continue to tell Tzadihim at Aleph, but Achis Isha, when a man marries his wife's sister, even the b'mezid, even if he deliberately goes ahead and has relations with his wife's sister, lo yasira, his wife does not become forbidden to him, midai raisa biblically, as the Gemara will quote shortly from a braisa, that this halacha, that he's not forbidden to his wife by having relations with other women, even those which are raias with his wife, meaning his wife's sister. So therefore, b'shagig l'gaz b'rabban, and therefore over there, that since even deliberately he wouldn't be forbidden to his wife. So therefore, we didn't institute and implement a penalty, because the penalty is actually just a safeguarding of the biblical law, which is when you do it deliberately, which is the case by the woman. So therefore, you didn't check well enough, so although you could really still be permitted, but we'll penalize you. But here, it wouldn't even be applicable, because even if it's deliberate, then biblically, he's still permitted in his wife. So therefore, even in the rabbinic context, since here was b'shagig, we're not going to go ahead and make a gzera to say that it's forbidden in his original wife.